So let's just jump right into it. The Bible says, wives, submit to your husbands. As my wife asked me, she goes, are you going to preach that? She said, how long are you going to keep preaching that passage? And I said, till you start doing it. So I think she's in Bible study tonight. So we will just move on. Honestly, the next part of the passage we're going to cover is one of the most, not most, it's one of the more controversial passages in Scripture. And a lot of people kind of use this passage to say things about the Bible that the Bible doesn't say about itself. And so we're going to look at this together because there's a deeper message that's here. So we've come out of wives, husbands, children, and fathers. And in chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 22, it begins, and it says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. We're going to read through the passage, but obviously I want to stop right there. And I want you to know that Paul, in his day, he was not a politician. He was definitely somebody seeking cultural change, but for the sake of the gospel. And even so, as he was inspired to write the words, you know, he's writing to people in their life situations. So he addresses wives. He addresses husbands. He addresses children. He addresses fathers. He addresses slaves, and towards the end, he addresses the masters of those slaves. And so, you know, several people have said this is the biblical position on slavery, that the Bible endorses slavery, and here's the proof. But that is actually not the case at all. Paul's in no way endorsing slavery, but he is giving a word of God, because here's something that's remarkable about the Bible, okay? Because that's one of the things that's said about the Bible, is that it promoted slavery. One thing that is said about the Bible is that it is against women, and mainly, you know, a lot of it coming right out of this passage, wives, submit to your husbands. But the truth is, what we see in Colossians is the incredible equality that Paul saw and felt in teaching the Word of God. You see, most people in this culture would say, why are you addressing slaves? Because slaves are mere, what would they have said? Possessions, property. Why are you addressing slaves? It's funny because the problems that people have with the Bible today are the opposite that people had centuries and centuries ago, because they were mad centuries and centuries ago that women were to be treated with respect according to the Word of God, right? That it said, wives, submit to your husbands, didn't bother anybody, but to say, husbands, love your wives and don't be harsh with them, they would say, but it's just a woman. So what I hope that we will see tonight is Paul's heart, that he felt like those who were in the position of slaves. Of course, in this time, slaves would not have just been an ethnic identity. It would have been a socioeconomic identity as well. It would have been those, you know, born in the wrong family, so to speak. You know, those who had you know, squandered everything they had, and the only thing that was left for them was servitude and a life as a slave. And so in no way is this passage endorsing slavery. So I want to begin by saying that, because if you think about the time that this was written, it is a powerful thing, and those who were slaves, it would have given them incredible encouragement, incredible hope, incredible comfort that God wanted to speak a word to them. that God had something for them as well, whereas the rest of society would have made those people feel simply like property. And so this is a powerful thing. You know, I hope what came across the last 2 weeks, and I always joke about getting emails, you know, but kind of through Colossians, I did get some emails. I didn't get any really hostile ones. My wife sent one. I don't count that one. You know, but I hope what caught you more than anything is, you know, how God treasures marriage, how God treasures the family. And, you know, and even with the appeal for wives to submit to their husbands, and I'm not going to preach that one again. I preached it 2 weeks in a row. That the greater responsibility and the greater burden was on the husband to love and cherish his wife. You know, what we learned over the last couple of weeks is that the spiritual responsibility of the home fell to the husband. And that is in no way to slight the wife, but it was simply to say that the man would be accountable for what happened in his home. And that would take us right into verse 22. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. And do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. And so, if you were alive in this time, and the situation you found yourself in is that you were a slave for whatever reason, you were taken from your family, you had squandered everything and had nothing left except to offer yourself to some family to serve. In whatever situation it would have been, this would have been an encouragement. Please remember this, because you will totally miss what God is saying here if you look through the lens of earthly things. You see, because every word of this Bible that's given to us is to prepare us for what? Eternity. To prepare us for eternity. So whether you're the CEO, the employee, the husband, the wife, the child, the slave, the free, the soldier, the politician, whatever role you find yourself in, these words are to prepare you for eternity. And that means this in verse 22. Slaves, you will not always be slaves. Freedom is coming. You will be free. He's saying to those slaves that they will get part of an inheritance that is out of this world. And their part will be equal to anybody else's because of what Jesus has done. And so Paul writes, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. This would be pleasing for the Lord. I had thought about kind of taking this, because I've heard a lot of pastors do this, just taking this and saying, you know, that we could also apply this, you know, to those of you who are employees. And those of you who are employees, you should work hard. But I feel like there's probably more expectation for this passage tonight than just merely we have a job, we should do our best at it. Amen? Some of you are just giving me dirty looks. That's all right. You see, there were a couple of hopes here, and it's why Paul wrote to the slaves. One is, you know, here's where you are. And you may not like where you are. You may feel that where you are is unjust. It is unfair. And in no place here is Paul saying that it is fair, that it's okay, you know. Also, he's not saying, slaves, run away. This isn't right. You should just run. Paul doesn't say that. Why doesn't Paul say that? I know this is a deep, heavy topic. I totally understand that. Well, obviously he's writing to believers. So the slaves that are being addressed here have been saved. They're followers of Jesus. And while they're slaves in an earthly manner, the truth is that they are free spiritually. And Paul doesn't want anything to hinder their worship of God or their growth in him. And so he just simply addresses the situation that they are in. Slaves, obey your masters in everything. In everything, obey them. And there's a couple of hopes. Obviously, the first hope is that they would just continue to grow deeper in their relationship with Christ. And that they would have an even deeper trust of him in that situation. And that they would cling to him. So he writes to them so that they will grow in their faith. There's another reason he says this. And there are stories in history about this. That maybe the master is not a follower of Jesus. And maybe that slave would work or conduct him or herself in such a way that God would use that to break the heart of the master so that the master would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And while I do think tonight it is applicable to talk about, you know, where we work, you know, and what kind of employees we are, I want you to know that there is such hope in this being written. But I'm afraid in our culture that it could be so overlooked. I mean, I heard a whole sermon on this passage given by a TV celebrity who doesn't believe in Jesus, you know, and saying, you know, here's one of the great flaws of the Bible. Here's how we know we can't trust the Bible, because the Bible condones slavery. But that's not what's happening at all. Because if we could rewind back to this time, right, and go back to that Roman civilization, and you'd see the awful conditions in which these slaves were treated. And if you saw how horribly disrespected they were by society, that Paul would address them was a powerful thing. It was a powerful thing. By Paul addressing the slaves, one, it showed God's heart for those who found themselves in that situation. It showed his heart for them. And what was it? That he loved them. And that he had a plan for their lives. That he wanted to bless them. That he wanted them to grow closer to him. That they weren't created for anything in this world. They were created for God. Hey, that's good. That's something I've been saying now for about a month. We're all starting to get it. They were created for God. They weren't created for anybody else or anything else. They were created for God. And that Paul would address them here is a powerful thing. And if I were able to bring back, you know, from this time period, 200 of these slaves, and they sat in here, and I read through this, And I read through the whole passage. You know, I'd say, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And so in our culture, we'd have a lot of women saying, I don't know about that. And then Paul says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. And you'd have a lot of women going, mm-hmm, I like that one. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. The children wouldn't hear it because they're playing on their little game pieces. Have their headphones in so they wouldn't even hear it. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. And that's when the men are like, well, that's twice now. And then this time in our culture, we just kind of look skeptically. Submit. Don't be harsh. Don't discourage my children. But if those 200 slaves were here, and I get to verse 22, and I said slaves, they would go nuts. And there'd be hooping and hollering and clapping and laughing and dancing. because where all the rest of society disrespected them, ignored them, treated them like property, God, the God of the universe, is speaking a word to them. And that's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. Notice he says earthly masters, right? Because they truly only have one master. All of us truly only have one master, and that's Jesus. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. It will please the Lord for you to do this. So do it. So do it. I know you don't like the situation you're in. And as I thought about this passage all day long, it just made me think, really, just of my own pride. It made me think of the places I've been that I didn't want to be at. It made me think of the things that I've gone through that I didn't want to go through. It made me think of the things that happened to me that I prayed wouldn't happen to me. It made me think about all of that. He goes on to say, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. That you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. This is powerful. But I was thinking about it. I've been writing this thing. It's not a book. It's not an article. It's just, you ever just write? Maybe to amuse yourself for whatever reason. So I've been writing this thing, and it's all about pride. And in the first chapter, I just entitled, I Love Me So Much. That's the name of the first chapter. Because the Bible tells us that we were created for the glory of God, but sin tells us we were created for our own glory, right? And so my pride tells me that whatever I want to do, I deserve it. That sounds like a commercial. Which one is it? You deserve. Okay, it's not Dunkin' Donuts, whoever said that. I mean, that's just offensive. All right? Anyway, that's what pride says, right? Pride says you're all right. You're okay. But I'm going to tell you, if the truth is that you're okay and I'm okay, then the cross was phony. There's no power in the cross if you're okay and I'm okay. But you see, here's the problem. There are places that God wants to take me. But they're places that I don't want to go to. God wants to take me to some places that are painful. And you know what pride tells me? I don't deserve pain. Pride tells me I don't deserve to suffer. That's what pride says. So if it is up to me, and this place right here is that place of pain and suffering, and God wants me to go there, pride tells me to run the other way. You don't need to go to that place. Pride may say, you don't need to go to that place. You go to Wednesday night worship. That's suffering enough. Just put your hand down, honey, all right? God's giving us a break tonight. Let us enjoy it. You all obviously know the incredible love I have for Miss Linda. All right, that should be very obvious that I have such an incredible love for her. She works in our baptism ministry, does a fantastic job. I love you. But my favorite thing is just to say mean things to you. I don't know why. I just love to. It brings me joy. And that's why I'm talking about pride tonight, right? And so pride tells me you don't have to go there. But I want you to know, it's those places where God draws us so close to Himself. It's in those places that God speaks the most intimate words to us. It's where we hear the most precious things that God has to say to us, is when we're in that place of pain and suffering. Because if you're like me, I have fought tooth and nail not to go to that place. I've done everything I can to keep from getting to that place. And then when I'm at that place, I'm spent. There's nothing left. I'm just completely broken and vulnerable. And guess what I start doing for the first time? I start listening. I start listening to what God says. Everybody look up here just a minute. This will be a visual imagery. Because here's the most phenomenal thing about this place of pain and suffering, where God speaks such powerful things to us. When we get through that moment, my kind of physical reaction to it is, after it's over, not during it, after it's over, wow, thanks God. And I start to go this way, and God says, oh no, I want you to go this way. And on the other side of that pain and suffering is this unbelievable place that I never could have got to if I hadn't went through the pain and the suffering. It's this incredible place. Every prayer I pray is to avoid the pain. Every prayer I pray is to avoid the suffering. But what does the Bible say? Be faithful, because you will receive an inheritance from the Lord. But I don't want to go to those places. And my pride tells me I shouldn't have to. My pride brings up the three good things I've done in the last decade, right? I was nice to somebody in 89, 96, and in 03. I was nice to someone, or I did something good. Or let me tell you what I do, all right? So I'll just get real vulnerable. I mean, this is what I tell God when I start to go through hard times. God, I'm a pastor. I say, God, I preach. God, I talk to people. I listen to what's going on in their lives and just try to be there, God, you know, just in case he forgot. Because what do I ultimately want him to know about me that he may have missed? Because he's really busy. It's a big planet. It's a lot of people. And I'm sure when God's going through the W's, well, I know there's a lot of James Wards. And I'm thinking maybe he just got the wrong one. I mean, it happens in the mail all the time. I'm constantly invited to join the women's clubs, right? Miss Jamie Ward. We want to invite you. Nor sings, I try to call them back and have a deep voice. I'm like, hey. And they're like, oh, hi, Miss Ward. But what do I want God to know? I want God to know, hey, God, I'm doing pretty good here. God, let me introduce you to some people. Because I know I'm not perfect, but if there's a line, I ain't in the front. Y'all are mean. Does anybody ever feel that way? All right, God, I understand pain and suffering, but there's a whole lot of other people that deserve it more than me, right? I can't tell you how much of my prayer life I would lose if I just quit praying for bad things not to happen, right? Where my prayers are basically, God, don't let this happen to me. And God, I don't want this to happen. And, you know, God, I'm afraid this is getting ready to happen. Don't let that happen either. And, you know, and then God, here's three things that I think really should happen. I've been following you now for a while, and I think I'm there. Does that sound like anybody else's prayer life? Go to the doctor. You're waiting on the doctor. And I get so nervous at the doctor's office, at the hospitals. I mean, like, it's like I shouldn't even be a pastor, those things bother me so bad. I know I've told you before. I mean, I went to the hospital one time to make a visit, and I'm in the elevator. I'm so nervous. There's a bunch of people in the elevator, and I'm just there to visit somebody. I'm not a patient or anything. And this nurse comes in wheeling this huge piece of equipment. And I'm just, gosh, I'm just nervous. And I don't know what you do when you get nervous. I talk. You know, and so we're all in this elevator, and that nurse is there, and I'm just like, nobody's talking, and that makes it even worse for me. And I just look at the nurse, and I was like, I'd hate to be hooked up to that. And she goes, it's a floor cleaner. And of course, always having to have the last word, I just said, and that's why I'd hate to be hooked up to it. And the doctors, you know, you wait, because you know, you wait 40 minutes for the doctor, right? And then you go to the little room and you wait 2 days. And that whole time I'm just praying, God, just let everything be okay, God. I know I'm going to cut back on the donuts a little bit. I'm going to use Splenda. Is that healthy? I don't even know. I just see skinny people using it all the time, so... That's one of my rules. If you're skinny, I don't eat what you eat, right? I don't ask skinny people where to eat. I find the fattest hog and tell them to take me to the trough. That's what I do. Okay. All right. And, you know, you're just praying, God, just let everything be okay. Just let my blood pressure be okay. I know everything I've put in my body, I don't deserve that, but just let it be okay. Let it be some kind of miracle, you know? And I just pray so I don't have to go through pain and suffering. And I just want to tell you with all the love in my heart, that's just not biblical. Pain and suffering are part of the journey if you're going to follow Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, the most phenomenal places you will ever be in your life spiritually while you're on the earth, you'll never get to those places without the pain and without the suffering. And Paul says to all these people, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, is working for the Lord and not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong. And there is no favoritism. Why would he say that? Well, he's addressing the slaves. And he says to them, anyone who does wrong, they'll be repaid for it. So, I don't know. I don't want to make too big of a jump here. But what I read from that is whatever's been done wrong to you, God will repay that wrong. You know what our problem is? We interpret that as God saying, go ahead and you repay the wrong. But that's not what the Lord says. The Lord says you work hard, you respond with kindness, you respond with joy, you bless those who curse you, you speak kindly to those who are harsh to you, and don't worry, because whatever has been done that's wrong to you, the Lord will repay it. And I honestly thought on a Wednesday night that would get a rousing cheer and applause, because that is a powerful thing. Because as soon as I say that those who wrong you, they'll be repaid for their wrong. I mean, five faces come to mind and two of them are here. And I don't know if it's the depth of what we're talking about tonight or the heaviness, the weight, the gravity of it. But I'm going to tell you, that's a powerful thing. Because you know what God is saying? You are in my hands, and it's going to be okay. You're in my hands, and it's going to be okay. And some of you are in situations right now, and you can't imagine how they'll be okay. And let me just say, that's where we have to learn to trust Him. because I don't know how they're going to be okay. I just know that they are because of Him. And so as He leads me, because guess what? The Bible definitely says that He leads us beside still waters, right? But what happens before the still waters? In Psalm 23, anybody remember? The King James says it best. Yea, and though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me, right? So guess what the Bible's saying? There are refreshing still waters that God's going to lead you through. And there are dark valleys that He's going to lead you through as well. And we've got to learn to trust Him. We've got to learn to trust Him. And trust His hand. He is good and He is kind. The Bible says over and over again, His love endures forever. That you can trust Him. And I can tell you tonight, I can't tell you tonight how it's going to be okay, but I can tell you it's going to be okay. And I can tell you, if you're in a place of pain and suffering, the best thing I can tell you as one of your pastors is, embrace this time. You will hear things from God that you cannot hear when you're on the mountaintop. You will hear things from God through the valley of the shadow of death that you won't hear beside the quiet waters. Oh, He will speak to you. He will love you. He will pull you close. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. Father, we come to You. And Lord, what else can we do? What else can we say? You are completely trustworthy. You say in Your word that You knew us before we were in our mother's womb. Lord, You've told us that You've loved us with an everlasting love. Lord, You've not promised that we wouldn't go through difficult times, but You promised that we'd never go through them alone, that You would always be there. Lord, I pray for those tonight who are in that place of pain and suffering. And Lord, I plead that You speak a powerfully intimate word to them, a word of encouragement, a word of hope, a word of comfort. Oh, I pray You speak it to them, Father. Lord, I pray for those who are sick and they're praying for healing. And God, I join them in those prayers. God, I pray people would be healed. And Lord, most of all, I pray tonight for those that are here that have yet to trust You as their personal Savior. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that You save them. I pray that You would do that. We love You, Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen. I want to tell you all, the truth is, we're all fellow sufferers. We've all been in that place of pain and suffering. If you haven't, get ready. It's coming. It's coming. But I'm going to tell you, and there's some people here tonight who would tell you that when you look back, it's not that you'd go back and do it again, but they were some of the sweetest times because of how God handled you, how He cared for you, how He spoke to you. And that desire to walk with Him that closely would be greater than our desire to avoid the pain and the suffering. I want to invite you to this altar. And some of you are just hurting. I'm just going to invite you, please come tonight. Some of you are here and you know you need to be saved. I have no eloquent words to persuade you to be saved. God just simply saves people. And if you find within yourself a longing for Him tonight that you've never had, I tell you, it's because He loves you and He wants to save you. We'll be up here. We would love to pray with you, to talk with you. So let's stand together. And you know, we've talked about suffering. Maybe tonight's the night you just grab somebody by the hand and you know they're going through a tough time. Maybe you just grab their hand and say, let's go pray. Let's suffer together. Let's do this. This altar is open. You come.